The data below from Christori's World Reports may present an opportunity to further clarify the original St. Germain loan, Nisara, and its relation to the removal of the Twin Towers on 911 and Fort Hood.
Here's how this works, everybody listening. Christori puts out all kinds of information, okay? Historically, a nickel of it is right on. I mean, sharp to the point, right on. And then the digressions and the vacillations and then the ipso facto kind of runs rampant. So we're going to agree with some of the points that he makes, and then he's going to go on. So do not get crossways. What non-physical is saying when they agree with a point, it is independent to that point, because it'll come up into a conversation, and here's a tiny little example. The Nisara, the St. Germain loan went bad, and this was a problem, and that was a problem. That very well may be the case, and maybe on point and straight up. But then it'll turn into that the Queen Mother was involved, and they put Henry Paulson in jail, and then Germany's going to declare war on the United Kingdom, and all these other added on things. And then, of course, you'll find out later that Hillary Clinton is indeed the female version of the Antichrist, and on and on and on and on. All those extra projections, you can't get us to engage. But if there are accurate points, we won't mind confirming those. But just know when we do, it's not the blanket statement of, oh, every bit of that was right on. It'll be the point at bar.
Ion, you have dropped aspects of the Nisara St. Germain loan 911 on different radio shows over the past year, and leading up even you did stuff in Fort Hood. Could we run through, you're aware of all the different places you said aspects of the story. Why don't we say for the record, as much as you can tell, where the Nisara loan came from, what was St. Germain's role? How does that relate to 911? How does it go back to Fort Hood and China's Federal Reserve notes in 32? This would be the structure, the basic facts that you agree with, that Christori improvises revolving around Lewontas' story. You know, he improvises the Lewontas thing and lays it over, overlays it.
Well, he used to. Now Lewontas a bad guy and robbed him of money, too. No, let's just go with what he's got to go with right now, because most of your listeners that are going through, they'll have something fun to do. They're all unemployed, so they'll be able to go through the archives and find it all. Now, let's go with Christori's thing at the point, because it's significant, and we'll point it out if there's a stretch. And then once the things are kind of flowed with, if there's a hole, we'll fill it in, because there's no reason for us to tell you what he's going to tell you that we told you that he's going to tell you. So flow with it and let's see what we get. And then if there's a hole, we'll clean it up from there.
What was the first loan St. Germain made to the deists or the farmers or the nation building of this country?
Now, we're going to answer your question the way you're asking it. The first loan that was made originally was the setting up of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Who was that loan made to?
What you call founding fathers.
Were these founding fathers deists?
Yes, they were.
And what did that mean, deists?
That means that they were God. That's what a deist believes.
And were they in their power?
Well, yeah, they started a country and convinced St. Germain to loan them the money to start. See, you got to go back in. Think about it just a second. They showed up in this foreign land that they had never been to before. It was the new world. And then we say, you create your own world. People go, you can't do that. Well, somebody did, because they showed up to the new world, and they dispersed themselves accordingly. Like to starve to death, but that's okay. They didn't have the banking system to loan them money, so they'd have something to eat back in those days. So it's much better now. Now it's much better. They had to do it by their bootstraps. Well, they had no taxes. That's why they left England, if they weren't on parole already anyway. I mean, they were so bright they had to bring their own manure on the boats, blowing boats up all over the place. That is where shit comes from, ship high in transit, because the methane gas would blow the boats up. Well, they get there, they've got no seat of government, no power, no legislation. Everything was whoever had the biggest musket, and most of them didn't even have saltpeter to make the gunpowder to kill you with anyway. But long story short, that was the beginning place that they were using to back something based on the natural resources that were, and that was what you call in America. Now, it gets real interesting because this becomes the territory, the New World, that all of a sudden Queen Isabella and those wonderful little Frenchmen run around here owning the biggest part of America already anyway. So go figure that one out. It's quite a new frontier. If you can convince somebody to buy something that you've never even been to, it gets kind of cheeky after a little bit. They land at one little point and say, okay, I'll go from Key Largo to Oregon or Washington State, and I've never been there, but I own it all kind of thing. It's about the same regard. So St. Germain ended up giving the first loan to the Commonwealth of Virginia, named after the Virgin Queen, which was Elizabeth the First.
Did St. Germain ask for collateral on that first loan?
He most certainly did.
And what was that collateral?
The first collateral was access to the natural resources from Baltimore. But now, see, we're going to be talking about places that weren't yet, okay? But it's basically from Baltimore north. Those natural resources were what was to secure the original loan. But it wasn't meant as a point of screwing them or vigorish or return. The point of it was to secure the nation so that this new world could indeed be. Think about it now, Ed. They loaned them money. Well, what the hell good would money do with them? They didn't have a bank to put it in. They didn't have it in the money. What were they going to do? Were people going to eat the money? They were starving. So, you see, this whole business about the money really didn't have anything to do with capitalizing on those natural resources or not, you see? So if they had just brought their credit cards, then they'd have been better off, see? So the first loan was a kind of a moot point, but they used that as authority to establish a seat of government, some level and degree, however meager, to the point that they could prop up and could then go back and trade with whom? England, if it got too bad.
And at some point, as the nation's being built, title is given to this land that is being held as collateral. So then how did that work as far as the collateral once people began to own the land that the resources were on?
Ah, got it. Once that started happening, then their multi-loans, the big loan that Chris Story keeps kicking up about is Nassara. Nassara was done when the Federal Reserve, when you went off the gold standard, they were in trouble. That's why they went off the gold standard. So when they started printing money as debt, the big loan, the large loan, which did come with a per annum interest rate, okay, compounded, it was for 100 years. And that 100 years was inclusive of wrapping all the other loans into this loan. So actually the loan was for a little less than 100 years, but because they wrapped them all in, because people started getting into this place, like you said, where they started finding their way to Connecticut, finding their way to Kennebunkport, finding their way to New York State, you know, all that north of Baltimore. So what happened is it was like they took the loan they couldn't pay, made a new loan, added that loan to this new loan, and made it one. And it was for 100 years. Well, they kept rolling, rolling, rolling until the Federal Reserve got started, and we've already worked all this out, that the loan documentation was set in 1917. It actually didn't get funded until 1922. That's Bob's birthday, so that was how you get started in 1922. Bob was there. He can tell you all about it. He's lived this a couple of times already, so He can give you every insightful detail that's necessary. It's all in his chart, all the way through Oliver North, so don't worry. So the loan was made. And then what happened, once this started happening, they had already decided to set up the national parks, which is a way to preserve the natural resources. Now you started moving it out west, these national forests and national parks, so that you couldn't just go do any crazy thing you wanted. You had preserved areas where those resources were intact. Those became then in the Federal Land Trust. And you can look all that up. You don't have to be very smart to figure it out, but you know, everybody's unemployed, so you have plenty of time to find out everything you want to know about it. Look up the details of your Federal Land Trust and find out what the terms of the trust are. That all natural resources held by the federal government are held in trust. And it actually says they're held in trust as an allodial title. That all mineral rights, land rights, air rights, timber rights, water rights, every right in this allodially titled park is for loan number or security agreement, and it lists it, it gives the details, and lists the owner if not transferred or sold to Saint Martin.
And are those national parks still owned by the United States?
Well, no, they are not. They are in trust, collateralized in trust. They are not owned by the United States.
What about this relationship between some of the national parks and the United Nations?
Well, that's where the United Nations started jumping in and asserting the NACERA breakup and was trying to use their leverage to take control of those resources, and they were going to cut the trees down.
How can they do that since what you just Express says that those lands have to be held in trust for the debt?
No. They're held as collateral. They defaulted on the loan. You're on your own. They defaulted. The trust is default. It's in default.
Are you saying the United States defaulted?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they're in default. That's the whole point of what the Nasserians, that's their big rip. Because the United States had the money then to pay it off.
Then, you mean the year 2000?
Yes.
Could you explain what NACERA stands for and what it is?
Oh, okay. It's a bill, is what they called it. It's the National Economic and Development of Farmers and Hoodwinkers from the Daughters of the Sperm of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Paraphrased version, but it's a bill, and the bill was to, by a sideways, rectify these loans. And what they said was, now this isn't the way it was, but what they said was that the money would be paid to the farmers.
Who are the farmers?
Nobody knows. They don't even know.
And it says in the bill that this money will be paid to the farmers?
Yep, as retribution for where the property was taken away from them.
That was a metaphor for the natural resources.
Exactly. Very good, Bob.
The farmers, they're the land guys.
Are you saying the bill was using a metaphor because it didn't want to spell out the real particular terms?
That this bill was to pay back a loan, that if you don't pay the loan back, then some foreign thing is going to come take all your national forests.
And you're saying that's happened. Some foreign thing has taken the national forests.
Oh, yeah, they're for sale. Okay, in Florida right now, there's 60,000 acres for sale. It's for sale. Talladega National Forest, which is vast, huge portions of that are for sale. There's a great part of the Black Hills for sale. They put it on the market, but of course the market's destroyed, so they can't even sell it.
If they did sell one of these pieces of land, who would that money...
Well, they don't sell all of them. The money would go to St. Germain.
Did you say that St. Germain had now assessed his loan to China?
Yes, but the money still goes to St. Germain. He's got to sign off on the loan, though he has discounted and sold it to China. If he doesn't sign off, then they've paid something for foolishness.
St. Martin, that's ST.MARTIN, St.
Yes.
Martin. And that's a French family?
Yes.
Is there a person with the name St. Martin who is like St. Germain and has been in the body for many moons?
Yes.
Was he a business partner of St. Germain?
No. St. Germain's family was Martin, St. Martin.
Oh, it's interchangeable. When we're talking about St. Martin, that is St. Germain.
St. Martin. Well, it's like we talk about Chateau Lafitte. It's Rothschilds, you know. So if you don't know that, then we told you. Don't accuse us of trying to tell you something, though.
So when the loan was not paid back in 2000, how did this relate to the destruction of Twin Towers?
You know, you're a long way from there. You can't get there from there. There's much more that took place before, long before that happened. The first thing that had to happen is the dot bombs. When they didn't pay the money that they owed, when they had the money, it was a chicken in every pot. We had no national debt in the year 2000. You got that, right? And had reserve, vast reserve.
And had reserve.
Enough reserve to easily cover the principal, not all the interest, but that wasn't the deal breaker. They weren't screaming for all the vigorish, okay? They were just screaming for the principal, and then they could work out the interest. And had that took place and happened, then a whole lot of things would have been cleaned up, cleared up, and taken care of. But because they chose not to, and it was a choice, then all kinds of ramifications came forth because they agreed. Now, these documents are registered, and they're registered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the courthouse. And if you know how, what, when, where, and can get to the place where they're recorded, you can go read them yourself.
The Commonwealth of Virginia Agreement, you say the Founding Fathers, you mean this George Washington, that gang, or the guys 100 years ago, Cotton Mather, and those guys in the 60s?
So we already said that those loans were rolled and rolled and rolled, because Teddy Roosevelt's the one that set up the whole position about having the national parks.
We're talking about Elizabeth I. This begins at the beginning of, you know, the Pilgrim Fathers and that?
Oh, absolutely.
It rolls through, all the way through the American history. The deal Nixon set up with China when he went over there in 71 or 72, that would definitely involve these agreements.
That's where they were begging for leniency.
Over this deal that had been made through St. Martin.
Yep.
A lot of the history of the last 50 years, you know, major events like Nixon going to China, revolve around this commitment that had been set up way back.
Was this dynamic of taking the factories down in the United States and moving factories to China and setting them up and using their workforce to produce the goods for the United States, was that related to the loan?
Yes, it was. NAFTA and GATS were appeasements to help the debt relief.
That's what trade agreements are about.
Yeah.
Free trade.
Free trade. Well, that's right. Free trade. Exactly. So if you listen to what the actual words are, it starts making a whole lot of sense then.
It means China can run amok freely over America.
Well, they already owned it. They could do whatever the hell they wanted to.
They were free to trade in any manner they wanted in the geographical zone.
It was already theirs.
There always was the sort of Damocles hanging over America for 300 or more years of their obligations to China, and these were always permutating into new compromises, one of them being the Federal Reserve notes in 1932 with China. It's this ongoing problem with the landlord. We could look at the last 30 years when the digital economy came in and there started being little cash money and just everything run on credit. A lot of the movements, like you say, free trade, the building up of Walmart, All these things were an increasingly panicked situation as money disappeared in the late 60s, early 70s, and then you can't get any more money, so you got to fake some kind of virtual structure. There's a panic going on for the last 30 years. Would you agree with that, Ion?
It's been longer than that. How would they set up the Federal Reserve in the first place if they had money?
Well, that idea of China supplying Walmart, was Walmart originally set up to appease China?
Sure.
Sam's slogan when he set it up was, Buy American, right? Or something to that effect.
Sam Walton, Bentonville,
yes.
Arkansas, a little bitty general store owner, had it like a little country store, and then turned it into what Walmart is now, because he capitalized on this agreement. And they allowed him this unfettered access to the goods.
They allowed Walton. Who's the day?
China.
The person who was a key middleman in that situation was Hillary Clinton's father. Mr. Rodham, back there in the late 60s, early 70s, maybe before, a little later, but I assume the Walmart starts in the 70s, doesn't it?
A little bit before, but yeah.
This is the Clinton-Arkansas connection.
The Rodham Law Firm connection, yeah. And also, don't forget, this is what they were talking about earlier with all the SNLs failing.
Yes.
That's what that was all about, too.
So how do you explain that?
They're the ones that caused all the savings and loans with these crazy libertine building projects of buying land and then leveraging land to buy land and pulling it all from SNLs. Because they were not part of the system. A savings and loan was separate from the banking system. So that's what caused them all to fail.
Who triggered that? Who defaulted? Are you talking about the Rodham Law Firm or the Chinese?
The Rodham Law Firm.
So you're saying the SNL crisis, like a bunch of dominoes, comes from the Rodham Law Firm?
Absolutely. But now, do your history on that. Talk about the failed SNLs, and it'll tell you all about. That was the big rip with Hillary Rodham Clinton anyway. And the son and the daddy and all this gobbly-gobbly-gobbly-goop. What gate did they call that? The SNL gate?
Well, no, the local Arkansas thing was Whitewater, which would, I guess, in retrospect, it was nothing. So that was the red herring to avoid the attention on the SNL connection.
Well, but that's where it all started.
Whitewater?
Whitewater, yes, Whitewater, absolutely.
And because it all started there, there's never going to be any proof that it did, because that's too important, so it'll always be presented as insignificant, no proof found, because it links back into China, and then there's our agreements.
Very good, because when they want the proof, they'll come back and say, well, it's our property, we'll do with it what we want to. Now, since you're getting this far down the place, we've sort of discussed, and this is where we were talking about, Bob, filling in some of the holes, because it's easier, because you can get what you're asking rather than just babbling on about something that folks wouldn't be interested in. Do you know the difference, Ed? You may or may not be old enough to remember when, like, your parents bought property. If you bought a house and you paid for it, you got a deed, correct?
That's right.
Well, if you do it now, what do you get?
A warranty deed.
A warranty
exactly.
deed. And now, the warranty deed, is that a deed?
No.
It's a warranty that piece of paper says that you own that property. But it doesn't say it's a deed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are deeds. Well, there were deeds. They've all been converted now to warranty deeds. Because what's been happening, those deeds, as in any security agreement, are pledged to the country of China. Everyone.
So now they own not only the collateral, the land's pledged in collateral, but they own the rest of the land in the United States as well.
Absolutely.
Hillary Clinton, in March, first week of March 74, is when whatever committee was responsible for it issued the impeachment papers to Nixon. That was the beginning of the final, what would impeach Nixon by August 74. Hillary Clinton was on that committee. The same date, 20 years later, first week of March 94, that was when a big swipe was made at Hillary and Bill. Something happened. That was a bad week for them. So it was interesting synchronicity, 20 years synced up. But it was interesting that she was part of the Watergate world. Would Watergate be connected to some of this stuff?
Yes.
So that Hillary would be on that committee as a young liaison for her father?
Yes.
Ed, I'll jump ahead. Fort Hood happened right after Hillary went to North Korea. November 2009. So that's an interesting connection.
Was a deregulation of SNL, which had basically been in the business of financing individual family homes, and the deregulation didn't allow them to go into the large construction projects. Was that deregulation directly related to the China situation as well, as far as the loans?
No, that was all back from the Rodham Law Firm. They sponsored it, they pushed it, they made it go.
What were they looking to gain from that?
Free money.
Then Daddy Bush end up having to bail out those SNLs.
Were they bailed out or were they merged into national affiliates? They just all went out of business. And they were all absorbed into the national affiliate, which settled it for the Federal Reserve, so everything had to go through them now. Savings and loan rules and regulations were much more regulated. And after deregulation, then they couldn't run on their own. They had to be part of the Federal Reserve. But before that, they were not. They were separate.
What happened to all the monies that the savings and loans lost?
Well, I guess they just wrote a check and deposited it in their account.
Into whose account?
Their own account. Doesn't make much sense when we say it, does it, Ed? Well... A good question, because what did happen? Boom, no question, no harm, no foul, no problem, all done.
Well, as I recall, there was the image of President Bush saying he was going to have to pay billions of dollars to straighten out this debacle.
Of course, but did he?
He didn't.
Right.
The James Riady, R-I-A-D-Y, Indonesian tycoon connection to the Clintons in the 90s, would he be the front man or the watcher on behalf of the Chinese?
Yes, and the Taiwanese dollar. Part of that is the Taiwan connection.
Taiwan links to the Chinese financials.
Yes, Bob. Now pay attention, Bob. Or some facsimile thereof. Yes.
So the battle between Taiwan and the Chinese government, the communist government, is the tension between the Chinese people, Taiwan, and the Chinese government.
That's why
Taiwan cannot be let go. Taiwan's more powerful than the Chinese government.
Thank you.
The Rodham Law Firm was a front for the Chinese connection. Therefore, it was very powerful.
Of course.
So did Bill Clinton know all this?
Well, he wasn't that informed.
They talk about Hillary. She's the power behind the throne. She's the one who was the power-hungry person. She was the one who knew a little bit more about the whole reason why Clinton would become president. Because the Riady tycoon, Riady the Indonesian, he's involved with campaign scandals. So there was no way that Bill Clinton would not become president in early 93. And I suppose George Bush appreciated that.
Certainly.
When the loan is not paid back in 2000, when the money's available and there's a surplus, why is that money not paid back?
Because they didn't pass the Nassara bill. Bill Clinton said no.
Bill Clinton was the factor there.
Right.
Now, was he working on behalf of Hillary? Does Hillary want to respect the deal that should be given to, and we shouldn't necessarily emphasize the Chinese because it's really going to St. Germain, right?
It's not worth anything now because they didn't pay. But it's going to be defaulted back to St. Germain and then go to China.
Hillary is... they're aware of the obligations of the American government to China. Is she going to make a power move and stop the return of the monies to China?
She paying off. What are they going to do if China says, to hell with y'all, we're going to sell it at the courthouse steps, all of the United States of America?
So it was patriotic of Hillary and Bill to not complete the deal.
No, they've defaulted. Now China literally could sell it to anybody going.
But they defaulted because Bill Clinton did it. Why would Bill create that problem? He was informed on the real facts.
Now, that's a couple of trillion-dollar question now, isn't it?
Would Hillary have done that if she was president in 2000? Done what Bill did, not sign the Nassara thing?
Yes, she would have not signed it.
She and Bill were on the same page.
No, Bill was just doing what he was told.
Did China not want to be paid back in 2000?
Oh, they did want to be paid back. And when they weren't paid back, this doesn't have anything to do with the government of China. This is the people. When they weren't paid back, they had no choice because they're on the 1,000-year plan. They knew the dragon was going to win, so they said, okay, we'll just take the beads and you pay us pretty soon.
And have we been paying them? It's been 10 years now.
Not a penny. Not one penny. And then guess what's happened? Look how the worm has turned now. Won't be long to you when you want to dig a post hole on your property, Ed. Won't be long till you'll have to call the People's Republic of China and ask the people if it's okay for you to dig a post hole on their property.
Well, so what's the story behind 9/11? Was that a payback for not paying the loan in 2000?
Not a payback. Goes back to the bonds that were out that had to get lost. And the only way to get them lost is to have them flying through the sky so everybody and his brother could have one. Well, once they were breached, then none of them had any value. And so, therefore, they were, in effect, moot.
Yeah, so the Morgan Stanley floor got blown up and the bonds fell down into the Wall Street and they were worthless. Were these bonds involved with the obligations to China over the last 100 years or more?
They were the interest on those loans were issued in bond instruments.
So the local American guy said, let's destroy them. It's another attempt to wiggle out of our obligations.
Yes, and that's China's connection to 9/11.
So it was an inside job in the sense, Ed, that the bond guys who wanted to blow up, they made sure the building was blown up to disperse the bonds for the financial reasons and obligation to China. Now, China recognizes what happened. That's going to make them a little pissed off.
Well, they're okay. It's a portal, and they got all the steel out of it, so it's not a problem.
Right. There's a little of the parallel world operation there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did that steel come from the Chinese to start with?
No, it came from another world to start with.
Right. The whole World Trade Center, the Twin Towers, was a parallel world construction project. The Rockefellers ostensibly started it. The Rockefellers were fully aware and involved in these obligations to China. Correct, Ion?
You give those boys a whole lot of stamina and credit that we don't think was there.
So anyway, the World Trade Center was a Chinese operation from the beginning.
Yes, indeed.
They controlled that, so they could pull that plug anytime they wanted it.
Mm-hmm. If you really want to have some fun, look at who had the homeowner's insurance policy on the Twin Towers. And you follow the money for the building itself, and it would be very enlightening. Well, that and Bob's been trying to find the construction company, and they almost but don't exist.
I can't remember their name now, but it's Larry Silverstein. Was he the one who bought the insurance? Yeah, it just had it renewed a few weeks before the building was hit.
And up the numbers, and who the beneficiary of that was. It wasn't him.
A result of the towers falling down was an eventual war in Iraq. Was that also related to the Chinese
loan? No. You're starting to sound like some of your conspiracy theorist guests on the information farm, Ed. No. That was completely separate. It had nothing to do with that. The whole thing of that dynamic was to create, vindicate, validate terrorism. Because up until then, the only control they had, if somebody's walking around with more than $10,000 in cash or handling that much money, you were a drug dealer. Well, that was getting real old real quick. Because these older folks that just kept a little folding money, they weren't no more dealing drugs than you are. So it kind of gets real dicey when you start having that kind of situation where somebody's, you know, middle-aged and doing well and has some money, and to say that because they have money, they're a drug dealer. So they had to broaden the horizons, and so they decided that terrorism would be the new drug dealerism. So now if it's $2,500, now you're a terrorist and you're suspect. Back like the old McCarthy days when you're looking for them communists.
Are you saying that 9-1-1 led to the terrorism myth or Iraq, the Iraqi war?
No. That had nothing to do with it. That was so they could have Homeland Security and have terrorists be the meme of the moment.
Yeah, you did that. Is it the Iraq war that is the be-all and end-all for terrorism, or the effect of 9-1-1?
Effect of 9-1-1.
Okay.
And that little plane that dropped in the side of the Pentagon.
Okay, so that reinforces the terrorism myth, revivifies it. Now, what was the Iraq war about?
Pipeline.
The pipeline, okay.
No. In Afghanistan, that's the pipeline. What the Iraq war was about was going back to Chris Story and Leo Wanta and the Iran-Contra and the Sandinistas with that truly great American tongue-in-cheek, Oliver North. That's where Hannity and Combs, you're a great American, you know, he's a great American, you know, they're a great American, everybody's a great American. Well, that's what that goes back to, because you've got to remember who put Saddam Hussein in power?
The Clintons.
Yes, and the reason they did was because the Ayatollah Khomeini was dicking around with Jimmy Carter.
Okay, I said the Clintons, but it actually was, you know, Carter. But, you know, they talk about Bill Clinton going, being a Rhodes Scholar and going to Moscow, and they say he was a young student for the CIA. Is that true?
Not so much.
Not in that, or that's the early period before he meets Hillary. If he's going to get hooked into the CIA or some intrigue level, it would have to be through Hillary, correct?
Yes.
When did he learn about Hillary's knowledge? When they were dating at Yale?
I think it was probably after he discovered that she had genitalia.
Did he find out before he was governor of Arkansas in about 78 or so, did he understand Hillary's family's connections to things?
Well, yeah, you think he married her for her looks?
So the Iraq war has nothing to do with China or the Nasser agreements, but I facetiously said the Clintons set up Saddam Hussein. You don't mean that.
They had to have a whole bunch of war business going on to do a whole lot of money covering business for the money that's being spent. I mean, if you know, if they'd spent as much money as they said they spent on the war, they could have rebuilt the whole country and had bases and barracks, and everybody could have air conditioning. They could have got rid of all the sand and replaced it with nice astroturf and redone the central bank and got everybody together, and then there'd be no more jihadists because everybody'd be so happy. They wouldn't have any intention, because you're talking about the big country, but there ain't a handful of people that lives in the whole thing. It's a sandbox.
The Saddam Hussein thing starts during the Carter administration?
They had to get rid of the Ayatollah Khomeini, so they handpicked and chose Saddam Hussein and asked him if he'd like to run the government for a little while. And he said, oh, I ain't got nothing to do. Okay, that sounds like fun. Beats the hell out of goat herding.
So that's 79-80, and then he has the 8-year war or something with Iran. But are you saying the Clintons were involved with that aspect, or this is something totally different, the pipeline dreams?
It's a bit different, but it was a way to pump up the volume on spending. Well, if they're having to do all this spending, that affects money. Well, if that affects money, then if they don't like a program, then they don't have funds for it, and then it dies in committee. Well, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. that's another sidebar.
But you're saying if it affects money, then it affects America's relationship to China.
Point on. So much so now that they've created such an albatross. What is it up to now, Bob? $12 trillion and growing every moment? People don't even know what $1 trillion is.
The Chinese are pretty detached about all this. They know that America will come out of this smelling like a rose.
They're banking on it.
They're banking on it. So they ain't no communist conspiracy to nail us. They require America's success.
Certainly.
And I guess that begins to turn around as the euro goes down. That's the beginning of it.
Yes, indeed.
And they will bring in the Reform Party, Ed, to dismantle all that old leftover government.
Sort of RER.
So China is micromanaging America right now.
Certainly.
And it's nothing to get worried about. They have our best interest in mind.
Absolutely.
So who objects to this? Moscow? Is there anybody who objects to this
where is Moscow? Didn't they abdicate? Isn't it gone?
Right. No, I'm just thinking, is there any faction that objects to America, quote, winning with China's help?
Nobody asks. Nobody cares. Because they see it as all but lost.
So China is going to be the capital of the 21st century.
They kind of already are.
So, on July 10th, Quistori says, the lien holders exercised a foreclosure and management takeover on Friday the 2nd and Saturday the 3rd of July 2010 of Deutsche Bank. The foreclosure and management takeover of Deutsche Bank, Frankfurt, Germany, and of Bank of America, Charlotte, North Carolina. They took this action due to ongoing sabotage by the U.S. official kleptocracy. That would be the Obama administration. Who are the lien holders, Ed? Do you know?
I would think that the lien holders would be the Chinese and the Queen. This is who Story is always referencing. He says that they have a judgment that they filed with the World Court against the United States for payback of their loan. And their loan's not being paid back, so part of this now, they're exercising a foreclosure, a management takeover of Deutsche Bank and Bank of America in Charlotte, North Carolina.
So the lien holders immediately removed people in both banks working for the saboteurs and opponents of the necessary resolutions and cleared derivatives or toxic debt off the balance sheets. Did the lien holders take over Deutsche Bank and Bank of America a week or so ago?
Yeah.
Ion. They did. This took Deutsche Bank out of the control of Bush's senior agent, Chancellor Angela Merkel, and the saboteurs in Germany. Do you agree with that, Ion?
There is a little more to it, but from the way you're asking the questions, yes, that is.
Yeah. Likewise, they took the CIA's compromised Bank of America out of the control of the corrupt bankers and CIA saboteurs in the United States.
Right.
I mean, these are cartoon profiles, right? Agreed, that it's very general. Her Majesty the Queen signed the necessary authorities for the refunding program, the loan facility, and other necessary papers during her visit to New York as expected. We said many hours ago the Queen did no such thing. The Queen was concerned about her own accounts.
Very good.
As a result of the above, the necessary funds were available for distribution on Tuesday the 6th. As usual, George Bush Sr. interfered. He's been interfering for 3 or 4 years now, as a consequence of which the Chinese parties had a talk with him. Is that true?
Yes.
So it's been a tough week for Mr. Bush.
Sure.
Well, not okay, you're tough, or a tense week. By the 7th of July, which is 3 days ago, a full meeting of compliance officers had taken place, and the parties were again said to be prepared to initiate the transfers. Whereupon, Leon Panetta, director of the CIA, following instructions issued by private citizen George H.W. Bush and issued to his poodle in the White House, Barack Obama, Panetta issued instructions to banking authorities to placate but do not pay, thus preventing the banking authorities from making any transfers. Now, these transfers never happened. This statement by Chris Story of Bush or somebody on his behalf interrupting the transfers has been a repeated story every month for 4 years. They never get the payments. Now, is there another reason why the payments never happened, aside from Chris Story's reasoning?
They said they didn't have the money.
Bush doesn't even have to show up to interfere. They don't have any money to give him, so it ain't going to happen. Story was over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Bush Sr.'s poodle, Barack Obama, is too weak and lacking in backbone to grasp that Bush Sr.'s threats are bluff. He lacks the spine to stand up to this crook and face him down. Is Barack Obama a lackey of George Bush?
Well, we'd hope it'd be to the department heads of state, but yes, it would come back to the bill.
To the bill?
No, Bill.
Bill Clinton?
Yeah, the conversation with the Clintons.
So Barack Obama is in between. Is there a conversation between Bush and Clinton? Are they on the same side on this issue, or are they arguing about what should be done?
They're not arguing. They don't have a clue.
So that's why Bush and Clinton go around and solve disaster problems, because they're constantly trying to figure out what to do about the Chinese?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
On 7th of July, the Chinese authorities then had another talk with Bush Sr., as a consequence of which the payout procedures were put back in place on that date to start up at 3 p.m., having thus lied as usual to the Chinese parties, private citizen Bush Sr. contacted Barack Obama and instructed him not to allow the release of the funds. Did that happen, Ion?
Yes. Remember, that was about the role of the rotation, when everybody was a-begging and a-screaming and a-crying, trying to get ahead anyway.
We're talking about 3 days ago. Is that what you're referring to?
The fallout from that meeting, Bob, they had a time frame. they begged and they didn't get what they wanted and they didn't pay. And so now this is that fallout from that meeting back when they was begging for help some time ago.
A year ago? You had several time spans.
Yeah, Paulson went to China. Barack went and was bowing and
all
that business.
Earlier this year. So they're not having these meetings every week, but this week they dealt with the fallout of whatever Obama accomplished or didn't accomplish 3 or 4 months ago.
Right.
Now, if there's no money, why are the Chinese badgering Bush if it's not coming any money? What do they want Bush to do? Bush doesn't have anything to give them.
Why are they asking Bush anyway?
So is that happening? Are they asking Bush?
No.
But why is Bush meeting with the Chinese this week?
Vacation, chit-chat. I mean, you know, it's all moot.
Oh, okay. They get together on vacation, they sort of bemoan the fact, well, it's too bad I couldn't pay you back 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I could, but then I didn't, so, you know, sorry.
And what are you going to do about Mr. China? So there were these meetings this week, but they don't have the drama that Christopher is putting on them.
Rarely ever do they.
Okay. In that telephone call to the White House, Bush Sr. threatened that if Obama authorized release of the funds, Bush Sr. would go to the Supreme Court and have Obama's presidency terminated. Did that happen?
No, because the executive branch has nothing to do with the judicial branch. The Supreme Court can't declare a president unconstitutional.
So that's Christopher's British ignorance. Hey, do you know where Obama was born, according to Ion?
Jakarta.
Yeah. Not Kenya. So, as a consequence, it ends here. Obama obeyed George Bush and agreed upon payout of the settlement funds has not taken place. Now, he has said that, Mr. Story, for 4 years.
Straight out. Every time he posts something. Hot off the presses. See, I told you it was going to be one more time, and they didn't do what they were not going to do. It's amazing. They didn't do what they were not going to do. And that's all he said since the beginning, is they weren't going to pay it. And then they were going to be forced to. And then the woman prime minister of Germany was going to have everybody put in jail. George Bush and going to have McCain killed and going to have, who was your vice president that has the beautiful daughter that owns Compass Bank and Halliburton? Lynn Cheney. Going to have them all killed and they've been put in jail and all this kind of foolishness.
So the Nassar agreement will never be paid out. It will never be completed. It's gone.
No, that's not necessarily the case. It just won't be because Chris Dory said it ain't.
But he's right to say it isn't being done, and it isn't being done right now. And I am saying it could turn around at some point.
Well, of course.
A happy ending there, Ed. It will be paid.
No. It will be settled.